Thank you, Alicia, for our special music choir. Thank you for the good singing this morning. God's good. Amen. Pastor Hams, would you come this way? We're always honored to have him to be with us. He's been doing our homecoming for the last two or three years. It says in your bulletin, tells you a little bit about this gentleman. I know most of you know him, but he was the good pastor of this church from 1979 to 1990. And I always check with him. He's got a birthday coming up this month. And I believe he said he'd be 87. Is that correct?
86.
I'm getting old. I'm getting older than he wants to be. 86 coming up this month.
This week.
Good looking man. I know you love him. You pray for him as he brings God's word this morning.
I count it a privilege to be able to come back with you folks. This is one of the favorite churches that I pastored. You were good people to me when I were here, and I do appreciate that. And I appreciate you continue asking me to come back. And we appreciate the good pastor. He's such a wonderful friend, and we appreciate him encouraging us and asking us to come. And I, too, want to thank you, the choir and the ones who did the spatial music. You outdone yourself. It's so comforting and so uplifting and inspiring, worshipful. Thank you so much for that. Well, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. We'll find as we come to this chapter, the people of God had turned away from him and they were doing the wrong things. He tells us down there in verse 8 that, in other words, if they don't turn back to him, he's going to make their land desolate so that it cannot be inhabited. And in verse 9, he says he's going to let the Babylonians come in other words, the enemy, and pick them like picking grapes from a vine. And then he tells us in verse 15, the sin that they were committing. They were ashamed when they had committed abominations. Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. That reminds us of our world today, doesn't it? Now here in the 16th chapter, I want you to look at that verse. Thus saith the Lord, stand you in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your soul. Now, Moffat translation gives that verse this way. God is telling Jeremiah, stand at the crossroads and look for the old paths. Ask for the good road, and shall you be safe and prosper. He's saying if we get back to the old paths, we'll be safe and prosper. Surely that's what we all want, to prosper spiritually. Now in the 3rd century, a man by the name of Sipharim, he was the bishop of Carthage, and he was sitting in a beautiful garden near the city of Carthage in northern Africa. He looked out on the world, and he wrote a letter to his good friend, Donatus. And here's what he said, and I quote, "This seems to be a cheerful world when viewed from this fair garden where I'm sitting. But if I climb some high, great mountain and looked out over the wide land, you know very well what I would see. I would see bandits and thieves on the high roads. I would see pirates on the sea. I would see in the amphitheaters men murdered to please the applauding crowd. Under all roofs, I would see misery and selfishness and cruelty. It is really a bad world, and an incredibly bad world. Yet in the midst of it, I have found a quiet and a holy people. They have discovered a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of this world. They are despised, they are persecuted, but they care not. They have overcome the world. These people are Christians, and I am one of them, unquote. That's the letter he wrote to his good friend. Does not this letter, written approximately 1,600 years ago, describe our world today? It certainly does. I think that it is the very picture of our world. You see, only our world may have gotten worse, but there are many gardens in our world today that you can visit. And they're beautiful gardens. In other words, gorgeous. And when you visit those gardens, you are compelled to say, this is a beautiful world God made for us. A beautiful world. But we know that the whole world today is ugly because man has made it that way. Ugly with sin and unrighteousness. Now, it is a sad world. You can go up here to Ridgecrest and get involved in some of their meetings, and you just say, oh, what a wonderful time. What a wonderful world this is. You can go into some churches where the gospel is being preached, and there's good singing and praising the Lord like we've seen here, and you say, that's wonderful. What a wonderful world. You can go to the Southern Baptist Convention. You can go to the pastor's conference there and hear all those good preachers preaching the gospel and the good singing, and you're going to say, oh, this is wonderful. Very wonderful. But we know that as a whole, it's an ugly world. It is a sad world. And so we know that it is a bewildered and a confused world. One day the Lord appeared to the prophet Jeremiah here in this scripture, and he told him to go and stand by the wayside. Now, I don't know whether it was at the edge of town. Could have been. Might have been at a crossroads, because one translation puts it crossroads. But the King James says by the wayside. And told him to do three things in this passage. He was to see if he could help the people or influence them to get back to the old paths, back to righteousness. He also told him to get the people not only to long for the old paths, but to walk in the old paths. Then he told them the results if they walked in the old path, which would be their soul would be blessed and they would prosper. Now let's look first at what Jeremiah was to do here. He was standing at the crossroad and plead to people to turn back to the old way, back to God. When I think about our nation today and the world, of course, how we need to see it turning back to God. We need God. Now, they were to ask for the old path, which leads back to the place of prayer. back to the place of consecration and dedication. Jacob went back to Bethel to pray. He went to the place where he met God. And he made a vow here to God that if he would bring him to his father's house in safety and peace, he would recognize Bethel as being the house of God, and he would give God a tithe of all he possessed. This was his prayer. Now, the disciples, they saw Jesus go to the place of prayer so many times until one day they said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus did. He taught them. He taught them that prayer we call the Lord's Prayer. Now, we need revival in our country today to get it back on track like it once was. Because we can see it wandering away from God's Word and what God's will is. We have too many people and leaders wanting to put into the courts liberal judges. They want to do away with marriage and have same-sex marriage and all these different things. That's destroying our country. How we need a revival in our nation today, like they once had in America in the early days. There was one you remember, or you may not remember if you haven't read about the history of revival, but it was called the Great Awakening. And you know what brought it about? Prayer. Dedication to God. I would love to see the churches of our nation on the altar every week, every Wednesday night, praying for this country of ours. Now, our forefathers, from the days of Christ until the beginning of the 19th century, we might say, they were dedicated people to God. They emphasized the devotional life. They went into chapels. They went into churches. They went into schoolhouses. They went into quiet places for the purpose of communion with God. And they did. They prayed. They prayed alone. They prayed in family circles. They prayed in churches. Our country today was founded by praying men. Amen. They asked God for light and wisdom to lead this great nation of ours, and God gave them that. Even Christopher Columbus. History books won't tell you all about him. You have to read aside things about him. They'll tell you he just came to find a new route to the east and a few things like that. But Christopher Columbus felt himself he was on a mission for God. His name means Christ Barrier. And he felt like that God was leading him out to discover a land where people could come and have freedom to worship. And when he and his men landed on this continent, they got down and worshiped the Lord. They sang praises to God. They sang glory in excelsis. The name Christopher, as I said, means Christ Barrier. So when he discovered the New World, he called it San Salvador, or at which time they worshiped the Lord. The first English settlement in America was in 1607, and the first house they erected was a house of worship. When the Huguenots first landed in the Carolinas and settled the Carolinas, they joined in a service of praise to Almighty God for helping them to live in a land where they could have freedom. When the Federal Convention met in Philadelphia in 1787 for the purpose of framing the Constitution, Benjamin Franklin arose and introduced a resolution that every meeting they had would begin with prayer, getting back to the old paths. When George Washington's army was encamped at Valley Forge, he saw something that touched his heart. When his soldiers marched by in the snow, he saw blood stains on the snow where his soldiers' feet were bleeding. Their shoes had worn out. Some of them had tied toe sacks around their feet to try to keep them warm. But they were bleeding. And George Washington excused himself. He went off into the woods. He found him a stump in the snow. And he got down and he began to pray for his men in the snow by that old stump. There was a settler passing by at that time and saw him down in the snow praying by that old stump. And he rushed home. And he entered the house calling his wife, "Hannah, Hannah," he said. "George Washington is going to succeed." "Why do you say that? How do you know?" she answered. "Because I saw him out yonder in the woods by a stump in the snow, and he was praying. And he did succeed." After George Washington passed away, they built a monument 550 feet high in his honor. At the top of it, they placed the words, "In God, we let us praise God," I believe it was, at the top of that monument. Let God be praised. Our country was founded and it was built by men of faith, men of hope, men of love, men of prayer. And we need to ask for the old paths and get back to what made our country prosper in the first place. We need to get people in office that will put spiritual defense above every other kind of defense. Men who will put God in the center of their American way of life. Not only should Jeremiah ask for the people to get back to the old path. Second, he said we should ask for the old path, which leads back to the inspired word of God. Not only to prayer, but to the inspired word of God. There was a time in our American life when the word of God was read. It was appropriated. It was appreciated. But now, newspapers and periodicals and magazines and the computer especially has taken the place of the Bible. And people spend more time on the computer than they do in God's Word. How can you expect a nation to prosper? How can you expect us to get out of this situation we're in? The Bible has been placed on the shelf by many people. It's been placed in the trunk or bureau drawer by some of our leaders. They don't want us to mention God in public. They don't want us to have prayer in public meetings. The Bible has been placed on the shelf. No longer can a lot of these people say, with John Burton, the wonderful words he wrote in that little song we sing at Bible school, "Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Mine to tell me whence I came, and mine to teach me what I am." Many of them can't say that today, but the Bible is the inspired word of God, and it must be taught by redeemed, consecrated men and women to our young people today. And it is a spiritual book. For spiritual people, we must learn it, we must love it, we must live it before the world. Yes, we need to get back to the old paths, as God told Jeremiah to encourage the people to do. Then we are to not only ask for the path which leads to prayer and back to the Bible, but we need to ask or get back the church attendance. You know, many church members don't attend church today over this nation. The church used to be the greatest institution outside of the home. Now it is being forsaken by many people. Many people put their lodge or club, especially their pleasure, ahead of church attendance. I believe if we could get American people all over this nation to come to church regularly and faithfully, and the pastors of this nation would preach powerful messages from God's Word, and not let everything else take the place of preaching, then I believe we could solve most of our problems in a short time. We could solve our problem, economic problems, unemployment problems. We could solve our relief and crime problems and war and unhappiness we see all around us in the world. We could change all of that. You say, preacher, how do you know it would change? Because my Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, that's you and me, Christians, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal the land. That's what's going to heal the land, friends. In fact, Psalm 33 verse 12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It didn't say a nation would be blessed if the Lord wasn't over it. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. That tells us quite a bit. Then in the next place, we're to ask for the old paths that leads back to a happy home life. Too many homes are not happy today. We have all kinds of problems. Home is our oldest institution outside of the church. A place where most of us come, most of us, in other words, come from Christian homes. A place where most of us was reared to know God and to go to church. People thought the old Puritans were too strict. They thought they were too rigid. You think about it in history as you read it. But they put out into the world a robust men that helped build a rugged and a sympathetic nation for our world today. We need to build, Christ built, homes. We need Christ to be the center of our homes. They used to gather around the table, families did, and enjoy themselves as they ate together. Now they eat here and there. Different ones eat at different times. I remember when I was growing up, we had a large table. We had had a big family. And we gathered around the table and fellowship. It was wonderful. And before our parents would let us go to bed, they would gather us all in the living room. And my mother would get the Bible down and read two or three chapters. And my dad would lead in prayer. That's the kind of home we need in our world today. God, help us to get back to the old paths. We need to build Christ-centered homes that will stand the storms of our world today. Back to the old paths. Back to prayer. Back to church attendance. Back to the inspired Word of God. Back to a happy family life. The Lord told Jeremiah then, You must not only ask them to yearn for the old paths, but to walk in them. We must walk in the old paths. It isn't enough to be orthodox in the head. We got to be orthodox in our hands and in our feet. We must be doers of the word, the Bible says, and not just hearers. You know, a lot of people had rather be a signboard pointing out the way than they had to be a pilgrim walking in the way. We need to walk in the way. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. He didn't say you'd be happy if you didn't do them. He said, if you do them. If you do something right and you know something's right, then do that. And if you do, you'll be happy. If you would have power, you have to practice praying. Little prayer means little power. Much prayer means much power. No prayer means no power in your Christian life. We talk about prayer. We preach about prayer. We sing about prayer. But we pray too little. We all have Bibles. But we read them and study them too little. We must walk in the old paths of prayer, Bible study, church attendance, if we want to change our nation back for the better. Because we have people in it today, they want to put liberal judges in all of our courts to cry out for their own thing, like same-sex marriage and other things. The ACLU wants to take everything about God and Jesus out of our life. They want it to be a secular world. Dear friends, we need to get back to the old paths. Redeemed men and women in every age have found that if they ask for the old paths and walk in them, they have the guidance and the blessings of the Lord. And we see this so much. And the children of Israel, when they went away from God, God had to punish them. But when they came back, oh, how they prospered. It's that way with us today. God has not changed. He's crying out to us today to do that. And now in verse 16, by asking for the old path and walking in them, he says, you'll be able to enjoy the greatest thing in life, rest for your soul. You'll be able to prosper. True religion has at least three dimensions. Three dimensions. It has height, it has depth, and it has length. It reaches up and touches God. It reaches down and touches mankind. And then it reaches out and touches people all around us. Soul rest down here, eternal rest up there. Listen, as the great Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the great Galilean, listen what he says in Matthew. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. And you'll find rest for your soul. That's a wonderful passage of Scripture. It's a wonderful promise. Are you heavy laden today? Do you have burdens and problems? What's wrong in your life that needs to be corrected? Anything? If so, listen to what Jesus says. Come unto me if you're heavy laden. Come unto me if you have problems. Will you ask for the old paths and walk in them today? Will you encourage other people? Maybe you're doing your best, but will you encourage other people to get back to the old paths and do these things that will build our country again. I challenge you today to get back to the old paths of prayer, Bible reading, church attendance, family life, and loving your fellow man and serving your Lord. May God bless each of us. I want us to stand and sing. If anyone needs to come and recommit your life, your pastor will be right here at the front. Let us stand and sing.